Do you still have something left? Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, clap those hands. Stomp those feet. Hallelujah. I'll have a mansion there. Oh, Come on, just try that a little bit. Just let that flow up from here. Oh, Lord, I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I praise you, Lord. I lift you, I magnify you, I worship you, Lord. Let it come from way down where the well springs up from. Give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful night for breaking out. This is a wonderful night for drawing a line and saying, I'm not going to be a carnal, empty basket. I'm going to be full of the blessing and the goodness of God. This is a wonderful night to say God gave me a well springing up and I'm going to let it have its way and flow in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to just shake themselves a little bit here tonight. It'll help if you just shake yourself a little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Praise God. We're going to go back to the 32nd of Psalms tonight, and we can take one more run at this, and then we'll move on. But tonight, I want God to have his way with my life. I want to be led by the eye. I don't want God to have to employ the bit in my life. I want him to lead me simply by nodding in a direction. I want to be able to hear him. I'm hearing him in this service tonight. Let me tell you something. Just tonight, we're breaking through something. Somebody's been praying a prayer of faith. Somebody's been believing God for a move in his life, for her life. We're moving through some obstacle, some barrier here tonight. You say, how do I know that? Well, it's not so much cognitive. It's affective. I know it because I know it in the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Psalm 32 and beginning in verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I'll guide thee with mine eye. This is David speaking in the Holy Ghost. David prophesying, and God is speaking through David. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him thanks and praise for his word tonight that is ever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you for your word, oh God, for the privilege of handling it. Come on, are you glad to have the word of God in your home and in your life tonight? As a parent, aren't you glad that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path? We've got a standard to raise our kids by in a world that's lost its way, in a world that's lost its mind. We have the word of God. What an awesome privilege. Praise God. We've been talking about the eye and the bit. God wants to lead you by the eye. He will train you with the bit. There is a necessity that we have training if we'll ever walk with God in the Spirit and we'll ever know God so well that we can follow him simply by his eye, by the gaze of God. There's training involved, and we have to be defined by the word of God, and our purpose is informed to us by the word of God. We gain gain purpose and definition and order and structure and the North Star of God's purpose in our life by his word. And it's impossible to follow God and follow after him in spirit without following after his word. This is the training ground. This is the definition. This is the place where we learn to walk by his favor. He says, if you want to know me, know this. He told them, study the scriptures, for they are those that testify of me. If you don't know the book, you can't know him. Praise the Lord. I know we live in a day where people just want to fly off in fancy and say, I'm being led of the Spirit. But you're not. If you're not right with this book, you're not right with the Spirit of God. If you're not right with this book, you can't be in the will of God. Praise God.
We understand that if I'm going to walk in the Spirit and I'm going to be led of the Spirit or led by the eye, then it is necessary that my eye be fixed. Jesus talks about the fact if your eye is single, then your whole body will be filled with light. He's talking about a single purpose and a fixed purpose and your eye on the prize of God and your determination wrapped up in the goals and the objectives of the Word of God. I'm amazed at people like Joseph who had a vision and a dream, and the enemy put all kinds of obstacles in his way and his brothers worked against him, but God used it all. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good." And he walked through the pit and out of the prison and across the lies, and in every negative situation, he kept his eye on the goal, the vision, the prize of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "My eye needs to be fixed." Tell him, "Then my whole body will be full of light." If my eye is single, I'll be full. He said, but if your eye is double, if you're waffling, if you're guessing, if you're wondering if there's something other than the kingdom of God, he said, your whole body will be full of darkness. And he said, how great is that darkness? We want to be led by the eye. No price. Everybody say no price. We don't have a price tag. The enemy can raise the ante every day. He can fix an astronomical figure, but there's nothing in my life that compares with the kingdom of God. We don't have a price tag. We're sold out already to the kingdom of God. Come on, now you ought to be able to say, I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. There's nothing he can bait me with. There's nothing he can tempt me with. I'm not for sale. Praise the Lord. I'm married to God. I'm married to truth. I'm married to my wife. I'm not for sale. How about you? How about you? He believes he can. He believes he can make you curse God. He believes that he can destroy your house and your family. But tonight we've got to let him know and let one another know there is no price. I am fixed. My heart is fixed. I am stayed in God. Well, praise God. There are going to be obstacles, but no obstacle bigger than my faith. Say it tonight. No obstacle bigger than my faith. There are going to be fakes and substitutes, and there'll be alternatives all along the way, but we've already tasted of the kingdom. We've already heard the good word of life and truth, and we know what the genuine article is, and nothing else will do. Once you've had the real thing, nothing else will do. Once you've had the real, nothing else will do. My God, I've been in a bar room, but you don't tell me there's not a bar room in this town that compares to what I'm having in this house tonight. I've had the drugs, but there's nothing in this town that compares to what I'm having in this house tonight. I've just got to tell you, you can't take me anywhere in this city where I can get what I'm getting in this place tonight. My God, it's the real thing. Somebody shout about it a little bit. If you believe it and you're glad for it. I'm just glad they let me in the door. No alternatives. And as we talked about Achan and Israel this morning, I will not fall to a small enemy because of sin in my life. You will regret it. You will rue it. You'll be filled with remorse progressively for the rest of your life if you lose these small battles because of some small foe, because you had sin in your life. If you want to be led of the eye, you got to keep the altar burning in your life. Gotta have an altar. I can't let sin build up. I can have the buzzards of temptation and sin fly over me, but I can't stop them from coming by. I can't stop them from flying over, but I can make sure they don't roost in my mind and in my spirit. I can do something about that. It's hard for them to find a moving target. It's hard for them to set up a nest in something that's on fire. Something's troubling my mind. Get on fire. Something's tormenting me. Get on fire. Something's troubling me in my spirit. Get on fire. It's hard for them to come where the fire is. Praise God. God's called us as individuals. God's called us for this time and this season in this corporate body. This is our only hour. Churchill talked about our finest hour. But this is our only hour. This is our opportunity in the kingdom. This is our opportunity to build a legendary experience in the kingdom, to be a part of something great in the house of God and in the kingdom of God, to shake a city that's never been shaken like God wants it to be. There's always been a people here, and bless their hearts, they've prayed the prayers. And some of you have walked for years in this town, and you've worshiped God, and you've been faithful to the house of God, and you've heard the prophecies, and you believed it in your heart. Let me tell you tonight, God has a will for this city, and God has a revival for this city. God has a plan for this place that is greater than anything we've ever seen, I would say, than anything we've dreamed of. He's looking for somebody that'll rise up and say, God, just lead me by the eye. Ordinary heroes walking it day by day. Not all that exciting sometimes on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Thursday, but we talked about it this morning. You never know how powerful that little bag lunch is you're packing for Johnny. You never know how important it is when you let this stranger take that donkey that he's come. That man had no idea Jesus was about to ride into Jerusalem in Zechariah's triumphant entry. But there was somebody faithful there that felt the leading of God. There was somebody responsive there that wasn't worried about their own agenda. When he heard the words, "The Lord has need of it," he released it to their care. Praise God. Day by day, just eye on the prize, not distracted. It is amazing to me. I study revivalists and I study revival churches. And two of the most impressive churches in this modern revival that we are seeing in North America are the church in Modesto and the church in Sacramento. It's incredible what God has done there and what God is doing there. Randy Keyes and Nate Wilson came out of the same little country church. They came out of a little church where they've never had massive big city revival. They've never had just a shock the world report go out about thousands getting the Holy Ghost. They've never had any of that. But somebody in that place has just lived it, walked it day by day. Faithfulness every day, eye on the prize, overcoming every little obstacle, shutting down the voice of the enemy in their life, just steady day by day, one foot after the other. And that little church produced two of the most dynamic revivalists in our day. And I'm telling you, it's not over yet. That church in Modesto is training up missionaries. They're not worried about foreign missions department. They're not worried about St. Louis. They're raising up a missionary and sending him by themselves, sending him to India. And he's in one of the most populous nations in the world. He's fomenting apostolic revival. One local church is doing that. Oh, you don't even begin to see the implication there. I'm telling you, God can do something here that will reach its arms all around the world. God can do something here that'll set a fire in China. God, and all it takes is somebody picking them up and putting them down, faithful every day, doing the small things right, being led by the eye. Well-trained, well-informed, structured, defined by the word of God, and now led by the eye. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Did I give you a scripture list, Dustin? Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? This is poor planning. We need management. Well, you'll have to be quick. Galatians chapter 5. Starting with verse 16, we'll read 16 and 18. Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16. Paul is teaching us about being led of the Spirit and teaching us about what the flesh will do. Everybody say, walk in the Spirit. And turn to your neighbor and say, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All you got to do is walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm telling you what we're about to do, and we've already had a workshop of sorts already tonight. But we're about to move out of the cognitive, and we're about to move into the affective. We're about to move out of the cerebral, and we're about to move into the Spirit. Paul just says, you want to whip the flesh? He said, you've got to walk in the Spirit. Now, you can't learn enough facts, and you can't quote enough scripture for that to happen. Somewhere along the line, you've got to break out of the predictable, understandable, cognitive, and you've got to move across into the affective, spooky, spiritual, emotional, inexplicable. Verse 18. Good. Now, talk to your neighbor again and say, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you're led of the Spirit now, that doesn't mean the law is irrelevant or the Word of God is not our schoolmaster into Christ. It just says you graduate beyond the law because the law's not having to indict you for your failures and your weaknesses. If you're walking in the Spirit, you've got it built on the inside. You can't walk in the Spirit unless you have that Word already cemented in your life. But he said, if you walk in the Spirit, the tether's broken. Something's going to break loose. You're about to blast off into an area you've never walked in before. Well, praise the Lord. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. Anybody here interested in not fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Anybody here interested in having command over that? You wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you say, we're doing it right today. We're living it right today. We're walking in power today. And God's going to tell us where to go and what to do and how to live by the Spirit. Because all the Holy Ghost has to do is touch what's already. You're programmed. You've got the Word of God. You've got the structure. You've got the dynamics of the Word of God already down inside. And now the Holy Ghost just has to touch that and move with that and draw you by that and quicken that to your mind. Well, praise the Lord. Now, in the first 100 years of the church, it is pretty easy to follow the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Begins in Jerusalem. John the Baptist forecasts it, and Jesus talks about it, and he sends them to Jerusalem to receive the Holy Ghost. They are the first. It is the initial outpouring. It comes on the day of Pentecost, and the day of Pentecost is the feast of first fruits. Outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Do you know in the top 100 events for the 20th century, they're nestled in the middle of that listing of events, one of the 100 most dynamic, most important events to take place in the 20th century was a massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That's a secular source that lists that. That's a secular media source that lists that. That's not a church. That's not a religious organization. The world has looked at that and said, this is one of the most significant things. And see, they don't know the half of it. They've got it somewhere nestled in the middle, but they don't know the half of what God is doing and the long-term implications of that. If they could see what we see tonight, they would say, you know what? The most important thing that happened in the 20th century, there has been the greatest, most prolific, most profound outpouring of the Holy Ghost that the world has ever seen. Praise God. For 2,000 years, church history, there's always been a church and there's always been an outpouring of the Holy Ghost because the Word of God declares, and of the increase of His government and His peace, there shall be no end. And so there's always been a church and there's always been an outpouring, but God's people have not always written the history books. But interesting to us and more current to us, in the late 1800s, and this is something that I was not familiar with, but Dawson's brother and his sister-in-law have started a work in Hawaii. And Micah is getting to know a little bit about the history of Hawaii. He said, did you know that in the late 1800s, there was a massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Hawaii? And he said, I've never read or heard anything about it, but he said, everybody in the islands knows about it. You can follow. There was a time when the Methodists had a massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There were old Cumberland Presbyterians that shouted and had the Holy Ghost. I talked to my mom about community meetings out in Oklahoma when she was a kid. And the Baptists and the Nazarenes were there, and all the denominational groups were there. And they all shouted, and they all had holiness, and they all talked in tongues. So there always has been an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But notably, in 1901, Topeka, Kansas, on New Year's Eve, a group of Bible school students are praying. They see it in the Word of God, and they say, "This promise is unto you and your children and they that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And they got together and they begin to pray. And in the history of the 20th century, there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Topeka, Kansas in 1901. 1906 saw the birthing of all the present-day Pentecostal mainline groups. There was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in a little dinky building on a street called Azusa in Los Angeles. And the news of that went all over the world. And out of that initial outpouring came the Assemblies of God and the Church of God and your present-day apostolic Pentecostal groups. Praise the Lord. In the late 60s, we saw something begin to happen, and it was a convergence of prophecy. And in 1966-67, the Six-Day War, half of Jerusalem falls, and that historic picture of those young Israeli soldiers at the Wailing Wall, and they're looking up at that wall, a wall that had stood in the days of their forefathers before they were scattered out across the world. 2,000 years, and now they're back in the land. And in the late 60s, there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost corresponding to those prophetic developments. It began in the Roman Catholic Church. The charismatic movement started, and it began to shake the landscape of Christianity in North America and around the world. In 1974, the Yom Kippur War was fought, and all of Jerusalem fell into the hands of Israel. And there was a massive outpouring. In the 70s, there was a massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The United Pentecostal Church was the fastest growing church in the world at that time. Fastest growing that kept those kinds of records. Massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the 70s. Your full gospel churches, your charismatic churches began to spring up. They never existed before. You had all your mainline denominations, but now things were in confusion because the Holy Ghost started falling, and some of those churches didn't want that Holy Ghost in there, so they'd kick them out. And some of the churches, the whole church would convert over to that tongue talking and that Holy Ghost, and it just created a whole new dynamic in the religious world, in the Christian world, in the United States and around the world. By data gathered by Harvard University, in 2005, roughly 100 years after that little gal received the Holy Ghost in Topeka, Kansas, there were 500 million tongue talkers in the earth. That's like 2001, there were 500 million. They were projecting by the end of that decade that there would be 1 billion people talking in tongues. And you know what? It's growing exponentially. All over the world, it's growing. People are getting the Holy Ghost in numbers and in places never heard of before. I just talked to Brother Tom Bracken Friday, and he told me about these, I mentioned it this morning, these apostolic oneness Pentecostal groups that are springing up in Red China, and they don't have contact necessarily with the outside, and they don't have seminaries. It's just a sovereign move of God. God's just pouring out the Holy Ghost. God's revealing himself in the mighty God in Christ and the one of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, we are living in one of the most fluid and dynamic days that there has ever been. I believe we're living in the day of the greatest revival that the Church of the Living God has ever seen. I'm glad that 20 of you think so, but you're going to be converted to it before it's over with. Greatest day of revival the church has ever seen is dawning on us. Right now, I'm expecting a massive revelation of the name of Jesus, the mighty God in Christ. All these people that have gotten the Holy Ghost in the last 40, 50 years, God's going to reveal to them who he is and what his name is, and they're going to begin to rise up in there. You watch it. Here it comes. Praise God. I see where in the text of the Old Testament, Abraham, who is the father of us all, had digged wells, and he had all that he needed. But in his old age, and as the power transferred from Abraham to Isaac, there was a need for Isaac, the scripture says, to redig the wells of Abraham. Said he had to redig the wells, and there's a little story there about where he would go and how many times he had to do it. And it was because the enemy came up and said, we can't have these Hebrews living here. We need to shut off their water supply. We need to shut off their flow. Now, that sustaining water is an Old Testament type and a biblical type of the Holy Ghost. And the enemy has nothing greater in his mind than to shut off your flow of the Holy Ghost. Wherever your father and your mother have dug and they struck water, wherever that local church has been and there's been a good flow of water, in a house that used to know prayer and in a life that used to be dynamic in the spirit, the enemy says, I've got to shut that up. I've got to stop that. And so he brings all the debris and detritus of life and tries to cram it down into that well so that it won't be a springing well. But the Bible said that when Isaac's servants dug a well, finally they found one that had springing water. Everybody said springing water. It is reflective of what Jesus says to the woman at the well. He said, you drink this water out of this well, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of what I have to give you, you'll never thirst. It will be within you a well springing up into everlasting life. And he is not by accident reaching back and touching that day of Isaac when the wells were cleaned out and the waters began to flow again. Somebody say praise the Lord. He told the street in John chapter 7. He said, if a man believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Everybody say rivers. Rivers of living water. Now let me ask you, you gotta get on board with it. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? How many of you does it feel like a well springing up? Does it feel like a river of living water? I'm telling you, if it's down to a little trickle, if it's down to just a little bit of a squirt, you just get a little bump every now and then. Ooh, you just get a little tongues every now and then. You just feel a little bit of something every now and then. You go, oh, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, somebody's stopped up your well. Somebody's dammed up your river. You need to get down in the midst of that prayer, and you need to begin to clear that out and make a way for that life-giving flow of God to reemerge in your life. Come on, clap your hands. Lift your voice. Somebody needs to let that flow here tonight. Somebody needs to let that flow here tonight. We need a lot here at this church, but something we cannot do without is a fresh flow of the Holy Ghost. This church is depending, this city is depending on you being a fountainhead. On you being a source, your job, the people on it, your neighbors and your neighborhood, your city, the people that you fraternize with, your family, they're depending on you having a fresh flow of that Holy Ghost in your life. We're still talking about being led by the eye, but I'm telling you, you can't do that unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. You can't be led of God unless you're full of the... He said, if you're led of the Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. To be led of the Spirit, you've got to be full of the Spirit. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 20. Now this is very, very common and very, very familiar. Everybody say, now unto him that is able. You believe that he's able? Yeah. Paul says to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, according to the power that dwelleth in God. That dwelleth in the heavens. That works in the preacher. That works in the elders. Everybody say, that works in us. The power of God. Say, tell your neighbor, the power of God works in us. God can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, but it's dependent upon the power of God that's working in us, that's flowing in us. Talking about that Holy Ghost, talking about that river and that well. It's got to be moving in us for God to be able. There's no problem with God being able, but he's not doing it everywhere. Why? Because there's no power working. God's never had a problem in doing exceeding abundantly above. There's never lack with God, never a shortage with God. But he needs somebody in whom the power of God is working. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, come on. If we don't do this on purpose, if we don't do this proactively, we will settle down and become traditional Pentecostal. We will know it. And we will master the cognitive, and we will become connoisseurs of preaching, and we'll come in with our big black Thompson chain, and we'll judge every preacher, and we'll judge every testimony, and we'll judge every song, and we'll judge every praise group, and we'll judge every choir, and we'll judge the holiness around us, and we'll judge the social structure of the church, and in a cognitive sense, we'll have it all together. But without the effective, we'll simply become Pharisees. We'll simply become a dead sea filled up with good things and nothing flowing out. But my God, you don't need to judge the preacher. You need to preach with the preacher. You don't need to judge the praise singer. You need to praise with the praise singer. You don't need to judge the choir. You need to shout with the choir. My God, somebody ought to shout right now just for the fun of it. Somebody ought to shout right now, just because you can. Somebody ought to shout right now, just because God is worthy. There are some that would say, we don't have to do that. All that is not necessary. Well, in my humble opinion and in my brief tenure and experience in the church, I find a direct connection between the depth of praise and the flow of the Spirit, between the response and the flow of the Spirit, between how engaged that person is in the moving of the Spirit and how carnal they are, and how carnal they are, and how well they are led of God. Praise God. You say, that church is nuts. That sounds pretty good to me. They told me about a church in our city, and I had never been there. It was old Timothy Spell's daddy. And it's a shame I never visited that church. I like Brother Tim, and I like that church. But they told me about it, and I'd never seen it on that wise. All the men get together in the beginning of the service, before the music ever starts. All the men get together. Come on down here, guys. All the men get together on one side. They're afraid. They're coming, but they're tentative. And they just, before service, they just all get down in there and have a mosh. They just all start shouting and praising God and dancing. And all the ladies would come on the other side, down in the altar. They just all gather down in there and they. Now, this service is about being led in the Spirit 101. And you ain't graduating with a response like that. All the ladies came down on one side of the church, and they all began to shout, and they just began to dance. And I never heard of that. I thought it sounded pretty good. I never saw it, never heard of it, because I was under the impression that worship was what God did to you. I was under the impression that when you shouted, it was when God had you, and he was, go ahead, shout. Yeah, yeah. God was just moving you around. Yeah, 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 yeah. Whoa! And they'd close their eyes and they'd tear up the house and knock over the chairs and kill people. But it wasn't them. It was God. And it was the abdication of personal responsibility to respond to the presence of God. But since then, I found something. I found that worship is what I do unto God. It's not what God does to me. And so I can worship whenever I want to, however I want to, as much as I want to, as long as I want to. And I find that in an atmosphere like that, people get the Holy Ghost. There's a fluid moving of the Spirit. Conviction falls, and families live for God. Can you say praise the Lord? My God, let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. Right now, lay your hand on your neighbor and talk in tongues. With authority, just let it flow. It's never casual when you're talking in tongues. Praise God. Praise God. Dustin, Romans 14 and 17. Everybody say, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Tell me, where is the kingdom of God? It's in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost? Turn to your neighbor and say, the kingdom of God is in me. Come on now. The peace and the joy and the righteousness. It's not something we're waiting to fall down out of the sky. It's something that I need to give liberty to flow forth in my life. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus told Pilate, even though the disciples wanted him to take control and establish his kingdom and let one sit on his right and one on his left, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. He didn't come. It's not about this earthly kingdom. It's about that spiritual business. It's about that flowing of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, praise the Lord. I understand that there's the cognitive aspect, the training, the word, the law, the rule, the statute. I'm aware of that, and I love that, and that's powerful, and that is necessary. But without the affective or the spiritual or the flow of that in your life, you are crippled, and you'll become a Pharisee or you'll become a dead traditionalist. You need the flow of God in your life. You need something moving in your life. You need something happening suddenly in your life. You need God waking you up in the middle of the night and coming into your prayer and causing... I don't want to upset you tonight, but I can't tell you how far back it goes, but I don't get sermons off of tapes. I don't get sermons out of books. I don't get online and find out what somebody's preaching, and I don't subscribe to Preacher's Helps magazines, and I don't buy notes from dead men and backslidden Pentecostal preachers who need some way to derive income, and so they produce sermons for people that are active. But I have a real complex pursuit. I walk up and down my driveway. I talk to God. And I've purposed in my heart that I'm going to talk in tongues a lot. And while I'm there talking to God, He tells me things about you. And He tells me things about me. And I'd rather talk about you. And He tells me what we need to do next. And He drops it on me. this week, I ran to my truck. Because if you don't get this when it happens, it's like water in a pipe. It's just like when you talk in tongues. And I said, what'd you say? And you can't tell me again. But if we start praying, you'll talk in tongues again. It'll be the same thing. And you can say, that's what I said. But it got on me, and I ran to my truck. I found a little scrap of paper, and I got my pen out. And I had some road emergency flares for a tablet. And I put my scrap on there, and I started scribbling down what he told me. And that's what we're doing here tonight. We're doing what the Holy Ghost said. This morning we talked quite a bit about what the Holy Ghost spoke to Sister Sutton Wednesday night. I know the book. I love the rule and the law and the statute, but without the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and the free flow of His Spirit, we are dead. We are traditionalists. We will drink from a stagnant pool until it's all gone. I've got to have the flowing of God. You know what? If you pray, God will talk to you. Isn't that amazing? You know that if you pray and you talk in tongues, you'll hear from God more than you've ever heard from Him in your life. And the whole while you're praying, your natural mind will be saying, there's things that need to be done. You're not getting anything done like this. You need to go somewhere and do something and build something or do something. Work on the church. Work on the people. Do something. And all the while I'm doing something, flesh, just shut up. Just sit back. Just hold on. We're getting in touch with God. You can't listen to the clamor of the natural. It never will be on board. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, I need the effective, the outpouring. I need the spiritual in my life. The promise, the cognitive promise, is that this promise is unto you. The cognitive promise is go to Jerusalem and you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The cognitive promise is He'll give the Holy Ghost to all those that ask Him for it. But the experience is the receiving of it. It's not enough to know you can have it. It's not enough to hear the good news. You've got to get in there and step out into the waters of it and let God pour it out on your life. It's not enough to know that praise is appropriate. You've got to be a praiser. It's not enough to know that prayer is powerful. You've got to get into prayer and get lost in prayer. And I want to suggest to you tonight, it's not enough to simply pray in your understanding and trot your list out, and that's good and that's healthy and that's powerful. But there's something about this. You've got to shift gears and get into the Spirit and spend some time in prayer. I don't care if it's driving across town or sitting at your desk at work or whatever in the world you find some time to do it. You need to pray in tongues. You need to be God's church is a tongue talking church, and you need to be a tongue talker. God's church is a Pentecostal church, and it was inaugurated with talking in tongues, and you need to talk in tongues every day. Somebody asked Randy Keyes if he felt like it was necessary to talk in tongues every day. He said, well, my God, I can't be saved if I don't talk in tongues several times a day. He just let them know how it was with him. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Peace and joy, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. They got the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19. We understand that through history, the Holy Ghost was poured out all through the two millennials from that initial outpouring to now. And God's church has always been a church of the cognitive and the affective, of the knowledge and the cerebral, and of the spiritual moving and flowing of the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about this for just a moment or two, and then I'm going to let you go tonight. Everybody that loves being filled up with the Holy Ghost said amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans 8 and 26. Romans chapter 8 is one of the greatest treatises on life in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. But if you want to be led by the eye, you must be filled with the Spirit. If you want to be led by the eye, God, by His Spirit, will lead you. The Word of God won't make any sense to you without the leading of the Spirit. Everybody say, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you don't know what to pray for, talk in tongues. When you don't know what the answer is, talk in tongues. When you've already presented your need to God, talk in tongues. When you don't know how to find a solution, talk in tongues. I'm telling you, talking in tongues is the flowing of that river of Holy Ghost. It is the uncorking of that well of living water. Talk, everybody say, talk in tongues. Shake your neighbor and say, you need to be a tongue talker. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Ghost maketh intercession for us with groaning. Sometimes we're talking in tongues, and sometimes that well begins to come forth, and we just begin to moan before God or cry out before God. And some of you have walked in that place of intercession before, and we need intercessors in the house of God. And God knows that the enemy would like nothing better than to shut your mouth and stop your prayer and to close off that intercession. It is a gift from God. We need intercessors. Everybody say, praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. When you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. Praise God. When you speak in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. Everyone say, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. You speak things beyond your pay grade. You speak things beyond your knowledge, beyond your capacity. And keep it in mind that you are speaking forth, the Holy Ghost speaking forth, the creative word of God. And there is no telling the impact of that, how powerful it can be, how far-reaching it can be. Praise God. Tell your neighbor now, when I speak in tongues, I speak mysteries. Now, to get down to the root of that, the word in the Greek here for mysteries is mysterion. And it is an interesting word because it's more complicated than just a mystery, something that's not known. It literally has to do with the taking of an individual. Come here, Jimmy. The taking of an individual and leading him into a place where mysteries are revealed. Down at the bedrock of that word, it's not just a thing shrouded in mystery, but that word, mysterion, has to do with leading somebody into a place where mysteries are revealed unto him. When you're praying in an unknown tongue, you're talking to God. You're speaking things that are mysteries, but mysterion, you're speaking things that lead you into a place where mysteries are revealed and given to you. Is anybody in this house need an answer to a perplexing problem right now? Does anybody in this house have a situation in your life that you don't know what to do with? Somebody's gotten hold of a tar baby and it's got you all stuck up in there and you don't know what to do with it. I'm telling you, one of the most effective, powerful things you can do is pray in tongues. Open up your mouth and begin to take that thing to God and pray in the Holy Ghost, because mysteries begin to open up when you talk in tongues. Let me tell you, it scared me to death. We were trying to pray some people through the Holy Ghost in my home church, and one of them had received the Holy Ghost and was a backslider and was trying to pray through again. And one lady said, "Oh, honey, don't worry about it. I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago, and I hadn't talked in tongues since." That's a scary, scary mentality. That's blasphemy and anathema. That's My God, you need to be a tongue-talking people if you're going to be the people of God. Now, she looked good. She had right sleeves and long skirts and high necks, and everything was in order. And that's the way all that ought to be. But she really needed a move of the Holy Ghost in her life. Praise God. In that same chapter in verse 4, say, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Now, it is so ridiculous, but people that don't believe in talking in tongues go to this chapter to find fodder to argue against the manifestation of God in your life. And they find fault with you. See there, when you talk in tongues, you edify yourself. Like that's a bad thing. Tell your neighbor, it is a good thing to edify yourself in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Some of the translators say he self-instructs. Weymouth says he does himself good when he prays in tongues. But the word in the Greek is oikodemo, and it means to build up like you build a structure. You build yourself up like you're building a house. Have you ever read in the scripture that we are the house of God? That we are the tabernacle of God? You know what you're doing when you're praying in tongues? You're building yourself up. Jude says you're building your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But it's interesting. Oikodemos is that same word that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, if a man hears my word and he obeys it, I will liken him unto a man that builds his house upon a rock, and the wind blows and the rain descends and the floods smash against it, but that house stands. The word of God teaches us here that when you pray in tongues, you're building up your house. Know this, the storm is going to come, but if you're a tongue-talking apostolic, when the rain falls and the storm comes, you won't be shaken and you won't be moved. Come on. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, I'm done. Why don't you stand up? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We've already hit our affective apex. We are sliding back into the cognitive. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Everybody say, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It is amazing to imagine what you might be saying, what you might be speaking when you're speaking in tongues, the power you might be tapping, the worlds you might be moving when you're praying in tongues. It seems so totally useless to talk in tongues. It seems so empty and without purpose to the natural mind to talk in tongues. But the word of God says you're touching something eternal that was established before the worlds were formed. He said the princes of the world didn't know it, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified him. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Don't you know something tonight? God has something prepared for you that you haven't tasted of yet, you haven't embraced yet. He's got something already prepared for you, and it's sitting there on God's inventory. It's sitting there waiting for you right now. I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing at the end of this how many blessings go unclaimed, how many anointings go unexperienced, how many gifts go unwrapped or unused. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You can't know the things of God. Have you read where Paul says we see through a glass darkly? in the natural, Brother Martin, I have no idea sometimes what we're doing in this place. I've just found the venue and the flow of the Holy Ghost, and we just follow after that. But I can't see him moving in this house. I can't understand what he's doing in the hearts of people. I can scarcely understand what he's even talking about when he's talking about heaven. My God. But the Spirit of God knows. Every now and then during the course of the day, I need to let the Spirit of God use this vessel that is chosen. And I need to let him do some things that I cannot understand. I can't even begin to hear and to understand him. Now we have received, everybody say, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Praise God. There is an application to this in a cognitive way. But I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge our young people to, I'm glad that you pray and that you call on God. But I want to challenge you to talk in tongues. I want to challenge you to walk up and down in your school. And this is dangerous now because all kind of things can go on. But I want to challenge you to go to your locker talking in tongues and walk up and down the halls of that school talking in tongues. And if you're walking across the campus, talk in tongues, and because you're loosing things that are beyond your pay grade and beyond your power and beyond your ability. Praise God. I want to challenge all of our working men as you're walking on a job, or our ladies as you walk in an office tomorrow, to talk in tongues. Praise God. When you walk in that place tomorrow, where you go to school? You homeschool? Well, walk in that house and take them in. Where you go, Hoover? Barry? Yeah? Well, walk in that place tomorrow. You got gangsters there? You got hip-hop going on there? All kind of freaks and weird people? They're not going to notice you at all. Just walk up in the middle. Come on, walk with me. And just and talk in tongues. And just start talking in tongues. And they'll say, hey, what is that you're singing? You say, come with me, let me teach you a new song. Well, my God, they'll think I'm crazy. It doesn't matter what they think. It matters what the Holy Ghost can do in them. My God, you're not going to touch them in a cerebral way. You're not going to move them with the cognitive. You're going to have to touch them in the Holy Ghost. They got demons hanging on to them and devils pulling them down. They need an introduction of the Holy Ghost into that school. Praise God. Brother Lou, you going to UAB tomorrow? You're off tomorrow? You work? You work. Where you work? Okay. When you walk in that place tomorrow, what you going to do? He's going to speak in tongues. Okay. Praise the Lord. Brother John, where you work? Self-employed. When you walk into yourself tomorrow. What you going to do? Talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. Sister Avery, where you work?
I work in dialysis.
You work in dialysis? Where? Okay, it's a shop, it's an office where they roll them in and roll them out and filter their blood, help their kidneys that have failed. So when you walk in, my God, people in that place need God. I mean, everybody needs God, but those people need God. You just need to walk around that place just muttering to yourself. And you know, you don't have to make a big deal of it. You know, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is just mind your own business and just talk in tongues. The volume doesn't have anything to do with it. Just the power of God. Just the power of God. Praise the Lord, Brother Noah. Where are you working tomorrow? He doesn't know where he's working tomorrow. Wherever you are, talk in tongues. Brother Travis, Alabama Power tomorrow. Talking in tongues. Walking up. You'll be better at what you do. Your job will go better. you'll have greater success in what you do if you walk into that job talking in tongues. Praise the Lord. Brother Robert, if you're going in the mines tomorrow, go down in the belly of the earth talking in tongues. Praise God. At UAB, tonight, tomorrow night, walking up in the middle of that place, talking in tongues. You see, if you got that mask on, nobody can tell what you're doing anyway. Did you say something? Yeah, I've been saying lots of things, but you don't understand. I'm practicing foreign languages. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, tomorrow, I'm walking in my place of business or my school or my house talking in tongues. Come on, when you go into your house tonight, you need to talk in tongues in your house. You need to anoint your car talking in tongues. You need to anoint your house talking in tongues. You need to go to Burger King tonight and talk in tongues. Where are you going to eat tonight? You going to Applebee's? Well, you need to swing open the door. You're red. Praise God. Where are you going? You going home? You going to McDonald's? Going home? Come on. McDonald's. Let's gather down around the front tonight. As you come, every step of the way, talk in tongues. Come on. Talk in tongues. Let the Holy Ghost flow. If you're the first down here, step up. Come on, talk in tongues. You let them sing, you talk. Ho, stop. Stop. They're going to sing the song, you talk in tongues. I don't want you singing. I know you can sing. I know you can speak in English. This is a workshop. I want you talking in tongues right now. Come on. You can sing in tongues. Don't be embarrassed to talk in tongues. Lay your hand on somebody and talk in tongues now. All the musicians talk in tongues.